How are we supposed to navigate our desires, fears, and longing for purpose when our culture claims that we're just born a certain way and can't help it? The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Pastor Christopher Eskett. Learn more about Disordered at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and...
Why is it important that we actually believe what the Bible says about not only creation there in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, but the creation of man and woman in Genesis chapters 1 and 2? And why is the story of man's creation told twice there in the creation account? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on the creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, Tom met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What does it mean that God made man in his image and likeness?
This is very important to understand because it really contradicts the whole idea of evolution, that all items that evolved are of the same nature and of the same image. But unlike the creatures that God created, the animals, etc., man was made in the image of God. And it says, very interestingly, after our likeness, that's verse 26. It's a plural, and obviously is referring to the Holy Trinity. In other words, man was made sinless, and therefore he had this sinful nature until he fell into sin, of course. And that's what the difference is between human beings and all the rest of creation. The rest of creation was not made in the likeness or image of God, which, of course, when Adam and Eve sinned, as it says very clearly in the Enduring Faith CPH Sunday School material for here, that therefore that image of God was destroyed in all of mankind. And that's going to be our next lesson next week. But at this point, we're just dealing with the creation of Adam and Eve.
Why did God give man dominion over all creation?
He gave dominion over all creation to take care of that relationship. There's three relationships that the Sunday school material makes clear. You first of all have a relationship with God. Second, you have a relationship with other human beings. But your third relationship is with creation. And so man is given the authority to watch over creation. And therefore, that's why we like taking care of creation. We just don't go around and tear it up or throw garbage on the streets or this sort of thing. There are many laws to try and keep the creation clean and in good shape. And so this is what man's authority was given. God gave authority to man in a number of areas, and this was one of them, that they would have dominion over all of creation.
God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. What does that mean?
This means that from Eve would come the rest of humanity. Be fruitful and multiply meant to have children, to fill the earth, have dominion over all things. In fact, that verse continues, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And in fact, God says, I've even given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And so God is setting up an arrangement with man as the individual to kind of take care of the earth, watch over it. And also, he did not in the Garden of Eden have to do much work in planting or anything, because the trees were already there and they were there for food, except for that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they were asked not to eat.
How did God then provide food for man and all the other creatures?
He provided fruit because he says in verse 30, to every beast of the air, to every bird of the heavens, and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And so there was no death in the Garden of Eden where lions would eat other animals, etc. In fact, this is found later in the Bible, that in heaven, even the lions that would be there would be eating plants, not other animals. And so heaven is kind of a similar existence as was in the Garden of Eden, where there will be no killing or anything. And God says, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And verse 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, that word good is very important to understand. It meant that everything was fulfilling the purpose for which it was created. And so, until sin came into the world, the universe was perfect. There was the sun, the moon, the stars. There were no hurricanes. There were no tornadoes. There were no floods. It was a beautiful place to live in the Garden of Eden. And that's what it has meant, that everything was good from the point of view of God.
It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So how should we understand the seventh day?
The seventh day, there are three levels of law in the Old Testament. There's the moral law, which is basically the Ten Commandments. There's the civil law, which were the rules that people were to follow, like in case somebody committed a crime, then there were consequences to that commitment. And then there was ceremonial laws. Now, the Sabbath day really became part of the ceremonial laws, because when Jesus came, all the ceremonial laws had been fulfilled by Christ, and therefore we no longer need to follow the ceremonial laws. And that would include, of course, circumcision of young boys and sacrifices to be made, but also it included the Sabbath. Just on today's Law and Gospel, I was talking about a person asked, what happens when people stop going to church on Sunday because maybe of sports or they're working? And I made the point that right now I'm dealing with four congregations, and two of them only worship on Thursday nights. I go every Thursday night to two of the congregations. They do not worship on Sunday because they can't find a pastor to help them worship. And I have two other congregations on Sunday I'm worshiping with. And so they worship every Thursday night. But the Sabbath is really now meant for a day where we rest from our work and we rest in worship of God. And as I indicated in the program, But the only day I know there are not worship services is probably Tuesday. I'm kind of unaware. I do know some congregations have a worship service every morning, but that's rare. But a lot of them have Wednesday Advent and Lenten, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday services, Saturday evening before Easter, of course, worshiping on Sunday. And more congregations are also having worship on Monday because of people who work on Sunday or have other obligations. So the Sabbath, the day that God rests, has now become any time that we worship God. And that can be any day of the week and is very helpful in coming before God to receive his many benefits and gifts, of which many people are unaware of until they hear sermons about it. And so that, even though in the Old Testament, that was a ceremonial law for the seventh day, which was Saturday, in the New Testament, that law is abrogated. Christ fulfills it, and he decides in a congregation when they are to worship.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on the creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We'll find out why Genesis retells the story in chapter 2 next. How are we supposed to navigate our desires, fears, and longing for purpose when our culture claims that we're just born a certain way and can't help it? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Pastor Christopher Eskett. Learn more about Disordered at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York. A small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at ourredeemerlcms.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Resurrection Lutheran, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri. And Trinity Lutheran, Waterville, Minnesota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. after him with High Delight, Let Us Unite, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. You can listen to sacred music for the Easter season anytime, anywhere at lutheranpublicradio.org, Amazon Alexa, Google Home, Apple HomePod, and the LPR mobile app. Sacred music for the great 50 days of Easter, Lutheran Public Radio. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 with Pastor Tom Baker. Tom, why does Genesis retell the creation of man in Genesis chapter 2?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because a lot of people think there's a contradiction between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But the way I've explained it, let's say I build a house, and my first kind of booklet on how to build the house, well, I began by digging a hole in the ground and laying a foundation, and then we put up walls, and then on top of the walls we put a roof, and then we went inside the house and we started painting it, and we put in windows, etc. I would give an accurate chronological order of how I built the house. That's Genesis 1. It tells what happens on each of the days. But in Genesis 2, it is a summary of what has happened. And it may say, yes, when I built the house, these are the windows I used. And, oh, by the way, I had wooden floors, and I tell about what wood I used. And then I said, of course, I have a roof. And people are going to say, how did you put the windows and the floors in and the roof? Did you do them in that order? I said, no, I'm just explaining to you a summary of how I built the house. And in Enduring Faith, it talks about that God created the world and the house, so to speak, and they were wonderfully made. But Genesis 2 is not a new account of the creation. It's a review of what God did when he created the world. So there really is no difference between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 in reality.
Is it important that God formed Adam from the dust of the ground?
Yes, it is, because it shows that we are not formed from other creatures. I actually had a professor at the seminary who taught that evolution was the way God created the world, and after millions of years, he chose two monkeys and called one Adam and one Eve. That can be found in a transcript when the professors were interviewed. It's on page 97 of what we call the Blue Book. And that's what I was taught, that man was not created by God out of the dust of the earth, but from evolution. Being created of the dust of the earth means that we return to the dust of the earth when our bodies are buried. And it doesn't matter what kind of coffin you have. It's rare that they don't disseminate and pretty soon turn back into dust. But God promises that even though our spirit has immediately gone to heaven, like the thief on the cross spirit was, today you'll be with me in paradise, our bodies are risen from the dead on the day of judgment, no matter what condition they were in, and are rejoined to our spirits in heaven. And that is why we always say to the dust of the ground. In fact, at a lot of funerals, they will throw dust or dirt on the tomb of the person, of the grave, etc., as they're lowered into the ground, to remind us that we came from the ground and were created by God. We did not evolve from some other animal.
What were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
These were two trees that were in existence when Adam and Eve were created. which again shows against evolution, because a tree takes many, many years to grow. Some take even more years to bear fruit. But these two bore fruit. The tree of life, if Adam and Eve had taken it, they would have lived forever. And that's one of the reasons after the fall into sin that God removed them from the Garden of Eden, because it says he did not want them taking from the tree of life because they would live forever in the Garden of Eden, but they would have a life of decay and death. And that is not what God wanted. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was another tree that when Eve saw it, she was very impressed by it. It had good fruit. It looked like it was good to eat. And so she was tempted by the devil to eat of it. But God had said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is found in verse 16 of Genesis 2. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that death was a spiritual death that we'll learn more about next week, where Adam and Eve were separated from God and his presence. In fact, they tried to hide from God, which is really quite ridiculous because God is omnipresent. There's no place where God is not. And so that's the distinction between the two trees.
What was Adam to do in the Garden of Eden?
In the Garden of Eden, he was, first of all, to name all the beasts. And God brought them to Adam, every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam named every living creature, that became its name, according to verse 19. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But unfortunately, there was not a helper for him.
So how did God create Eve?
So, verse 21 of chapter 2, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, God took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In fact, the Hebrew word for woman, ish shah, and man, ish, do sound alike. And this is, again, an important verse to show that Eve was not made from a bone, but he said that at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and therefore she is called a woman.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We'll talk about that little interpolated word about a man leaving his father and mother next. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Martin Luther tended to view the world through the three estates, the family, the church, and the state. The family provides the fundamental unit of society. In the church, God makes Christians, and in the state, he governs for the good of his people, his church. Well, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ affects our life in all three of these estates, and that's the topic of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. To learn more, visit cph.org/witness or visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at MELHS.org, jkrause@MELHS.org.
Register today. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky. The conference includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Online registration is open now with early bird pricing at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutheransforlife.org.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Who you love is not about who you desire for the satisfaction of your lust, but who you faithfully serve within the boundaries of the Ten Commandments. The one who is love shows us how to love in the Ten Commandments. Outside of that is only lust and self-adoration, regardless of what word we use to justify it. An excerpt from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Disordered, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the creation of Adam and Eve. Tom, how should we understand that passage where it says, therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh?
Yes. The fact of the matter is, this is something that I teach when somebody is going to be getting married. I was under the authority of my parents until I left them and went to school, college, or until I got married. And when I got married, then there's a new relationship that occurs. I am no longer under the authority of my father and mother. I don't need to follow the rules of their household in my household, but my wife and I, we are like Christ and the church. The wife is to the husband in obeying him when he talks about spiritual matters, namely that's in the Bible, like baptism of children, going to church, taking them to Sunday school, teaching them God's word, maybe Luther's small catechism at home. But the man is also to the woman like Christ is to the church where he's willing to die for her. So the vast majority of decisions that I and my wife Louise make in the household really have nothing to do with the Bible, like what color are the walls or what curtains to put up. And therefore, in light of our relationship, I'll often allow her to make those decisions because there's nothing biblical about a lot of that. And so that's the kind of relationship, Christ to the church and church to Christ, that a man and a wife have when they are married and they become one flesh. Paul makes a point of that, that when the sin of adultery or fornication occurs, you are becoming one flesh with that other person. And that is not to happen outside of a marriage covenant that God makes. And so all the way back to Genesis 1, we see that Adam and Eve were to be made one, and they had equal access to God. Both Adam could talk to God and Eve could talk to God. And that was very, very important. There are distinctions that occur after the fall into sin, but until that, there's no doubt that woman was not considered unequal to a man. And even though she would obey the husband, because that is who was put in charge of the household, it also meant that the husband was willing to go so far as to even die for the wife for her sake.
What does it mean that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed?
Yes. It's interesting to note that when they sinned, they realized they were naked. Well, what does that mean if they were already naked? Well, it's clear from other parts of the Bible that Adam and Eve were also having a glow of light within them. That's what's going to happen to every Christian. We talk about the degrees of glory that one will have in heaven. It's not explained what those degrees of glory are, but they're like Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He is shining, and that's due to the light of Christ. When they sinned, they lost that degree of glory because they were now against God and they realized they were naked. And we'll hear more about that next week as to the negative consequences of that sin. But until they were sinning, they were naked, they were not ashamed of it, and they definitely were ready to have children. Cain, Abel, and many others. Remember, Adam lived for hundreds of years, as did Eve. So they had many children. And in those days, there was not an illness that occurred when children would marry within one another. And that's why when Cain was forced to leave the area where Adam and Eve lived, he took with him his wife and others. And that's why we do not agree with this doctrine of what I call evolution, but instead that God handmade Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground, from the rib of Adam, and therefore we believe, teach, and confess what the Holy Bible says in both Genesis 1 and Genesis 2.
Why is it important that we believe what these passages say about the creation of man and woman?
It's important to believe that because when you go to the New Testament, Jesus says that also. Remember, the whole Bible is about Jesus speaking through the prophets and the apostles. And so when the apostle Paul talks about by one man, namely Adam, sin came into the world, and therefore by one man, salvation came into the world, namely by Jesus Christ. This was the important point I made in my Easter sermon, that the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world is that we worship a person, a human being, who also is God. No other religion tells you to look to a person in order to be saved. They instead say, you look to yourself in being saved either by getting more knowledge or by doing good works or by having certain experiences. And even though in Christianity, knowledge, good works, and experience does occur, none of that saves you. What saves you is Jesus. And he comes about in next week's lesson when God tells through the serpent that Eve will have from her seed a Savior, and that occurred with the Virgin Mary. His name was Jesus, and that's what the whole Bible is about, namely Jesus, period.
What's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is pretty clear. Is that a lot of times we fail in our relationship, not only with God, but also with one another, and also with creation. But the gospel is, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, which means we are not held accountable for our sins, because Jesus took the punishment for our sins. And God, therefore, through faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, has restored our relationship with himself, with other people, and with creation, all because Jesus is a person who has become our Redeemer and our Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You can find out more about Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you very much. And by the way, condolences on the death of one of your relatives. And that's why we're here on Friday instead of Tuesday. And I pray you were comforted by the good news that you heard at the funeral.
Thank you
very
much.
God bless.
Thank you. When we come back at Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year lectionary, Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy will join us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
You can meet and hear Lieutenant Colonel Alan West at the Share in the Miracle Dinner Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lieutenant Colonel West is a combat veteran and former U.S. Congressman. Proceeds from Share in the Miracle Dinner benefit Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis. For more information, visit the Facebook page for Unity Lutheran School, East St. Louis. Share in the Miracle Dinner, Thursday evening, May 4th at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Talk.
The cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends His Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.